to grant to our minds revelation, insight, wisdom, and application of the truth that is found in Christ. We ask that there be no error, no contradiction, no precision in how the word is taught and received, and all our eyes behold Jesus Christ, the Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. All right. Law and the prophets. Luke 24, verse 25. O fools, he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And being at Moses and all the prophets, he found them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And we said that the Hermes, where we have their manure from, is one who interprets words. Words are the focus, not actions. All that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And then notice something. He says, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things where we can have the word pragma from, very related term, is actions or events concerning himself. So don't assume he's talking about things like an object, but rather actions and events concerning himself. That is, within prophecy, actions, events that focuses on him. Then he says, to believe, which means that the focus of what he said or what he explained was faith. So, they were words of faith. That's vital. Let's see 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We looked at that word, the inspiration of God, and it's the word theopneustos. That is theo for God, T-H-E-O. Then you have N-P-N-E-U-S-T-O-S. And we said there are two words. That is to blow. It's the word pneo, P-N-E-O, to blow, where you have the same word pneuma. That's why it's called breathed, to blow, spirit, or spirit inspired. Now, when you blow, that is, what was the blow? Was it that they were, this is a blow? No. It means to inspire, or it's like to pump up something. So that means something was added. So, because what we are dealing with were not actions, definitely what was added will have to be tangible. So, when you say he inspired, we must know what the inspiration was. Now, the prior text will say, it's for what? What was it for? It must be tangible. Verse 15 says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is the word gamma. Gamma will be the content. Okay? From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. You know, I told you the difference between gamma and grammar is just expressions of something. I write. Gamma. Graphe, sorry. I write. Graphe. The art of writing. What was written? Gamma. So, there are two. I write. Verse 16 deals with I write or I wrote. What was written is verse 15. It says, you have known, which is the word eido, you have come to be accustomed to the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. So that means the blow will be words of what? Salvation. So that means the inspiration is to supply words of salvation. In detail now. Words of salvation. So the inspiration will be words of salvation. Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1:10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you. Again, specific, of which what? Salvation. So, the inspiration of the prophets will be what? Salvation. Salvation through faith, which is found in Christ. And look at that 16. All scripture is given, that if what was written, the writing was inspired. That is, words that were not words of the writer were supplied. So the additional thing, that is, if I'm writing something and you give me an information, that is the blowing. So don't assume that there was a movement, something was moved away from where he was or another. No. The inspiration refers to words. And words of salvation through faith, which is in Christ. That's why he says they are profitable for teaching. So, the writer wasn't that poor. He wasn't referring to experiences. He was referring to definite words. Look at 2 Peter 1:21. So if you are writing now and I tell you Nigeria became independent 1960, the words I gave you are the inspiration. Do you understand? The words I gave you or the information that I gave to you is the inspiration. So, the man now documents it in his own words. In his own words. He already has an information. So, pay attention to this. 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not, don't forget the prophecy, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Pay attention to something there. The word holy is silent. It was only inferred by identification. So it's men of God, not holy. The word holy isn't there. But it is inferred because by saying Holy Ghost, you made the men holy in their conduct. But it's silent. So, now notice another, they're using King James. Notice the word, as they were, is italicized. Who can see that? Because it gives the impression that the men were moved, which can be a bit misleading, even though it's okay. Now remove it and say, holy men of God spoke. Moved. Now imagine if the word moved is the word Pharaoh, P-H-E-R-O, which means to carry. That will be a bit incongruous, a bit inconsistent, because it says spoke. So you must, the speaking and the carry must go together. Are you following what I'm saying? So moved, another phrase will be brought by. So they spoke words brought by the Holy Ghost. So, the emphasis is not on them, is on what they said. Does it make sense? So, the move will, because it didn't come by the will of man. He's referring to words. But they came, brought forth by what? The Holy Ghost. So, words brought forth by the Holy Ghost. So again, the emphasis is on the words. Don't forget, what was Jesus interpreting? Words. About himself. So, the inspiration would remain words. Or in the words. So, let's see the summaries. Now again, the summary of that will be salvation. 1 Peter 1:10. Which salvation? The summary of 2 Timothy 3:16. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So that will be the summary. Now, let's proceed further. Let's see 2 Peter again, chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, you know, back up to verse 16 to 18, the coming, verse 16, of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That will be in emphasis a reconfirmation of Psalm 2 verse 7 in a way. Psalm 2 verse 7, and also of course Isaiah 9 7, which I call the Son of the Highest, Isaiah 7 14. So that's it. There was no new, those words were not new. They were words that had been spoken of before, only confirmed again. We said that yesterday. Now, look at verse 19. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, just a straight word, thereby is propheticon logon, that is reliable words of the prophets. That is reliable words of the prophets. That's what it means. Word of prophecy is propheticos, propheticos. Then you have logon, reliable message, better still, sure word, message of the prophets. So the more sure word of prophecy refers to the reliance we have on Old Testament prophecies. Are you there? Are you following? Now see the description. Old Testament prophecies, because that's what 21 now says. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, forget silent, spoke, moved. Again, 19 deals with words. Okay? Spoke as moved, or spoke moved, or words moved by the Holy Ghost. Now look at it. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now the word light there is the word luchnos, L-U-C-H-N-O-S, which is used for a lamp holder. So we are to see the prophets as what? Lamp holders. Just like John, he was not the light. He came to bear witness of the light. Look at the word luchnos. L-U-C-H-N-O-S. Let's run through it quickly. Matthew 5:15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. A candle. A lamp. Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. Lamp holder. Mark 4:21. Mark 4:21. Same thing. A candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed. A candlestick. Luke 8:16. The same thing. Now look at Luke 11:33. Same thing. Luke 8:16. Luke 11:33. Same thing. Luke 11:34. Luke 11:36. A candle. Luke 12:35. And your light burning. Luke 12:35. Luke 15:8. A woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she has one piece, doth not light a candle Watch those. A lamp holder or a candle, something that holds light. It's not the light itself. John 5:35. Jesus calls John the Baptist, a burning and a shining light. Why? Because that is the word luchos, a light holder. Don't forget that the same John, in John 1:6, a man sent from God whose name was John, he came to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, the true light. So, he was not the light, but he bore witness. The witness he bore, he makes him a lamp holder, a light holder, like a candle. He wasn't the light. The word light will be the word phos, P-H-O-S. Now, a candlestick, the same word lotionos, you'll see it in Revelation 18:23. Let me check it. Revelation 18:23. Yeah. Revelation 21:23 and 22:5. So let's get back to 2 Peter 1. As take heed as a candlestick that shines in a dark place. So who is he calling the candlestick? Huh? The prophet of the Old Testament. Because he says, we have a more sure message from the prophets. As unto what? A candlestick. Do you understand now? Do you understand? Come on, do you understand? He's dealing with the prophets. A candlestick that shines. Now, pay attention. The word there is phino, P-H-I-N-O. Something that becomes visible with time. It's becoming visible, that shines. That is, it's becoming visible. Now, this man is careful because he is not the same thing as manifestation. Where you have phanerosis, absolutely. Or revelation, apocalypse, where is an uncovering. This is showing you a progressive nature of information. That shines. That is, he's beaming more light. It's increasing in the insight it is giving. Talking about, so this again asserts the progressive revelation nature of the Old Testament. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Pay attention. The word dark place is used once. It's used for something that's unclear, murky, dirty, screwful, something that is rough, referring to a place. The Greek word is auchmeros, A-U-C-H-M-E-R-O-S, A-U-C-H-M-E-R-O-S, a darkness. Now, obviously, we have two options. Is a dark place the age or the heart of the man? So we'll find out. That shines in the dark place until, better still, till or towards the day dawn. Now, the day dawn is not a person. The day dawn here will be an event. It's the word deogazo. D-A-U G-A-Z-O, Emeros. The way you say day, you mean time. Emeros. Emeros. That is H-E-M-E-R-A-S. When you talk about a time, a season. So until the season dawn. Now when you say dawn here, you mean transparent, to break through the dark. That's why old English will call it dawn. To break through the dark, or call it transparent. Let's see that. Revelation 21:21. It was where they were transparent glass. Pay attention. It says that means the light was shining. The light shineth in the darkness. Same. And the darkness couldn't comprehend it. That's the Old Testament. An increasing intensity. And the darkness couldn't comprehend. Of course, when you hear darkness there, it's referring to the heart of man. So, it says to shine. So, that is, in that era, they carried revelation. And it was progressive. Till the day dawn, pay attention, that is the day star. Now, the day star will be phosphorus. P-H-O-S. P-H-O-R-U-S. P-H-O-S. P-H-O-R-U-S. Where you have a new day. Or morning. New day. Or light, light. You know, we had light through darkness. Now we have light in light. So, it says the day dawn, that is the day star, arises where? In your heart. So that means the focus of the place there could not be times, it would be where? Men's hearts. So that means the light that they bore is now fulfilled where? In our hearts. The same way Paul would say, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine where? In our hearts. So that's the same thing Peter is saying there. That this is the fulfillment of the prophecies that they bore. So that's why the next thing he will say is that knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke, or words were said, given by or brought by the Holy Ghost. So, let me ask you. The giving of the prophecy will be called what? The day dawn. Are you following? Right? The day dawn. The light that shines in dark place. The fulfillment of the prophecy will be called the day star. Is it clear? Is it clear? Prophecy given then will be as the day dawn. Okay? Or you can call it a light that shineth in a dark place. The day dawn, the day star, till you now have the day star. That is, we now have light. So they prophesied of light. Their prophecy was light in itself, but not the light. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? The prophecy was light, just like John, but it's not the light. The light is now the day star. So that's why it will be called, you know, like as the day dawn. Or better still, the light that shines in the dark place. Because when they were given the prophecy was not fulfilled. So it will be in a dark place. But in the fulfillment of that prophecy now, it is now the light itself. Which is where we are now. The light that shines in our hearts. Are you following this? So we should take heed. That is, take heed to see that the prophecy has been fulfilled. The light is now in the heart of the man who is born again. Is that clear? So, look at two things we have seen. In 1 Peter 1, he said, this is the gospel I have preached unto you. He said, they didn't say those things for themselves, but unto you were those things revealed to. So he only repeats himself again here, that the grace that should come unto you, that is, they kept speaking of what will come to us. 1 Peter 1, 10, 11 to 12. Then he reemphasizes again today, to say again in 2 Peter 1, he repeats himself. The day star, the day dawn, and the day star. So it shineth till everything was now clear. Do you understand? And what we have is the day star. It's a new day. All light, hallelujah, in our hearts. So it's the same thing, salvation. of which salvation the prophet inquired and searched diligently. 1 Peter 1:10, the same thing. Is it very clear? So, they had light, but it was a light about the light. Do you understand? The light for the light in our hearts. So, what the man born again has is prophecy fulfilled. It will be seen in their prophecies. It will be seen in their words. That's why I said that no prophecy of the scripture is directed by the interpretation. That look, it didn't emerge from a man. These are the very words of God in the words of men. Do you understand? The words of God, the plan and purposes of God in the words of men. So that's the summary. In John 5:39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life. Of course, when he said this, it was fact specific. Remember, he says in verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you hope for. In whom, in whom you were expecting. Expecting what? Eternal life. So, in other words, he knew, or he was communicating to them, that they were making they knew there was an expectation in the Old Testament about eternal life. Yet they will not come to the person of whom that prophecy or those words were spoken. So, he's not referring to all the scriptures. Are you following this? It's referring to the scriptures that point to where? Eternal life. Do you get it? Do you understand this? So, don't say every scripture is about Christ. That's not true. I think we are bearing that thought. Is the Bible Christocentric? Yes, it is. That's the overall message of the scriptures. But it is not the message of every scripture. Is it clear? So, in them you think you were hoping to have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. So this summarizes those particular words. Say like John 1:1. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God. And the Logos was God. Again, that is a summary. A summary of the prophecies of the Old Testament or the message of Christ in the Old Testament. It now says that the message became flesh and dwelt amongst us, which is the fulfillment of what light they gave in the Old Testament. So when you read John 1, verse 1, to verse 11 and 12. Or let me put it like this. John 1 verse 1 to 9. Or to 6, because I mean that we can classify John differently now. There were things said before the incarnation of Jesus. The light that shines in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. So, there was a dark period in human history. But it was not dark. There was light. Those words spoken about Christ were the light that shined where? In the darkness. And the darkness couldn't comprehend it. So there were things said about Christ. All things were made by him. He's not referring to trees. No. He's referring to all things that were designed, said. Things said, they were made by him. Just what we read earlier, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. The same thing. That all scripture is given by the inspiration of God is the same thing. All things were made by him. All these things referring to the light that shines in the darkness. Is it very clear? Okay. So, it's fact specific. Look at Romans 1. Romans 1. Paul, this one, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Look at verse 2. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Let me ask you. Is everything in the Holy Scriptures the promise of God? No. So again, it is what? Fact specific. So the epistles were not necessarily dealing majorly with every issue of the Old Testament. Are you following this? They were streamlined in their emphasis. And that's why those wise theologians will say, where the epistles are silent, be silent. Where they are loud, they are loud. So you can see where they are very loud. We will check a few things tomorrow, if time permits, about that tone, you know, in the way they wrote. In the holy prophets. Look at this. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Right? And declared, horizo, marked out, the Son of God with power. According to the Spirit of Holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Is this all written or very specific? Very concerning. Peri, his son. So, the epistles have already brought out our meal from the Old Testament. They've cooked it. Allow me to use that. The meal of the church has already been served concerning his son. Hebrews 1:1. The prophets, who are sundry times and in diverse manners, spoke in time past unto the fathers. I hope that's clear now. God had spoken in his son. So he makes a distinction. Who be the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. He now calls him the heir of all things. Now, what will be the all things? All these things. All the things the prophet spoke about, who was the heir? The son. Is that very clear? He's not the heir of Nigeria, an heir of people's property. That is, everything was his Lord. His heir of all the things they said to the fathers. Jesus, verse 2, is heir. Is it clear? John 7. So you will see that the writers were able to summarize for you. Logos is a summary. That, don't stress yourself, the Logos is Christ. Of his own fullness have all we received, grace for grace. The author of Hebrews was a bit more, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. So we are surrounded with greater witnesses. Look unto Jesus. And Jesus was not in that cloud. He was not part of the cloud he mentioned. So what is he saying? Chief focus. By telling you earlier that the same people that were in the cloud of witnesses, they have the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. So if you are looking at them, you are missing it. You must look at what they looked at. They were looking at Jesus. Are you following this? So you too, look unto Jesus. Who is now, who has fulfilled what they were expecting. So you can see that the writers were giving summaries. Allow me to use that term. That is, they put the message together for you. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Look at Luke 24. No, John 7. In the last day, that day, great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let's take verse 38 together. John 7. Let's go. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Now, when he says, as the scripture has said, is he referring to the writing or the message? Huh? Because there is no verse of scripture like this. Rivers of living water. Now, when you use belly, it's referring there to the resurrection of Jesus. Don't think his stomach. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which that is from the resurrection of Jesus will the Spirit be given. So he says, come unto me, all you are thirsty, and I'll give you. He wasn't referring to him then. It was a statement that was yet to happen. Just like when he was saying, John 10:10, I've come that you may have life. That didn't happen there. That happened upon his resurrection. Is it clear? So, again, it's a summary. Allow me that term. To put the message together. So, the gospel is the summation of the promises of God. Remember we said it's actually singular. Is the summation. That this is it. You can summarize everything God desired in the Old Testament in going into all the world and preach the gospel. You can put it in simple words. So many things were said, you know. Look at how Hebrews 1 says. He says, sundry times, diverse manners. They now told you verse 2, his son. So all those scattered words were about one person and specific events. Are you there? So look at Paul's own too. 1 Corinthians 1:19. No, Luke 24. Sorry. Verse 44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open ye their understanding, that they might what? Understand the scriptures. It's like to give someone, look, this is everything you have been reading. You get it? This is everything you have been reading. Put it together. This is it. Say, hey, you were reading different things. He said, this is what you have been reading. About the same person. Then he says in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Written where? In the law of Moses, in the Psalms, concerning me. So is verse 46 another summary? Huh? Luke 24, verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Is that another summary? Yes. So, that is the logos. That is, this is the idea behind the prophecies. This is the message behind the prophecies. So when John was saying, in the beginning was the logos, he didn't say anything that was strange. It's just the understanding of Christ in the promised scriptures. He put it in his own words, the logos. Are you getting this? 1 Corinthians 1:19. Now I want you here to be very attentive, because I want us to see something quickly. Okay, I'll start from 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. Where was Paul preaching from? Huh? Now, the word preaching there is the word logos, the message of the cross. The message of the cross. An event. It's to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. For to whom I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? That's verse 19. Where is the wise? Where is the disputer of this world? He's quoting from Job 5:12, Job 5:13, Jeremiah 8:9. And maybe more frankly, Jeremiah 8:9, than Isaiah 33:18. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. He pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The message. To save them that believe. Now, look at the interplay of words that Paul uses here. He says, the preaching of the cross, the message. Now, does that involve his resurrection? Yes. The message of the cross. Romans 1:3. Concerning his son. So, the Old Testament was thus summarized. Look at verse 23. For we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block. To the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So that's the message where? Found where? In the Old Testament. So, let's look at the way Paul uses words. So, look at 1 Corinthians 2:2. So when I say, I came to you, I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. That means He took the Old Testament and preached what? Christ. And Him crucified. So, the enticing words of man's wisdom can also be taken from where? Your preaching from the Old Testament. Who is following what I say here? You can use the same Holy Scriptures to preach the enticing words of man's wisdom. But it says, the wisdom of God is found in a particular event. So, look at the play of words. Not the use of words, sorry. Again, my speech and preaching. So, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1. The preaching of the cross or the message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to us. What is it? What's it? The power of God. Take note of that statement. The message. So, there is already a message in the Old Testament. Christ crucified in His resurrection, the power of God. Then look at 23. We preach Christ. Different word. The word preach there is keruzo. We announce. We make it public. Are we preaching an experience or are we preaching a message? A message from where? From the Holy Scriptures. That's what he's referring. That's what Paul is saying here. Look at 17. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now the word here is euangelizo, euangelizo, to bring good things. To bring good things. And now talks about the good thing is the cross. In verse 18. So what is good in my preaching is an event. What is the event? The cross. Verse 18. Verse 23, we announce it. Verse 24. Look at verse 24. To them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Is it two things or one and the same? Okay. So, the power of God, there, is an insight. Come on. Is that right? The word Sophia. He calls the power of God what? An insight. He says the man who is an intelligent man calls it foolishness. We by faith, we call it the power of God. Is it discussing acts, deeds, or is it discussing knowledge? Ask the question.
Knowledge. So restrict your mind to that. He's talking about knowledge. He says the man who is intelligent and smart, and you know, he calls it, this doesn't make any sense. The Jews say this is stumbling block. But he calls it to us. This is the wisdom, this is the knowledge of God, this is the insight of God. And he calls it the power of God. Christ crucified. So, chapter 2 is making sense now. So that means in the crucifixion of Jesus, in his resurrection, we have what? The insight of God. That is, we know God. Is it making sense here? Do you understand? We know God. We can see God. The Jew is saying, this doesn't make any sense. The Greek is saying, the Jew is saying the stumbling block is seen as a scandal. Now can you say that is God revealed? The non-Jew who is intelligent, the Greek says this doesn't make any sense. You know. So he's referring to a message. So in chapter 2 verse 1, he says, when I came to you, I determined not to know anything, verse 2, sorry, among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Is that the wisdom of God? Is that the power of God? Good. For I was with him much in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech, which is the word logos, my message. Now, he had told you his message in chapter 1. Christ crucified. Is it clear? Is it clear? In verse 2 of chapter 2, my speech and my preaching. So, my speech there is my message, which precedes my preaching. Is it clear now? My message, which preceded my preaching, and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. That means that my message has been determined. It's been determined. If I dabble into any other thing, I'll be dabbling into the wisdom of men. I stay with the wisdom of God, Christ crucified, and raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Say, not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Huh? I thought we explained the emotion the other time. The Spirit shedding light. Okay? Of what? The Spirit, which refers to what? Power. What's the power there? Signs and miracles? No. The power there is what we have been discussing earlier. Christ crucified. So, he's saying, the Spirit sheds light on anyone who has believed or who believes, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Look at the word preaching. The word preaching there is the word kerugma, vocal speaking. K-E-R-U-G-M-A. Where you, the is a noun. The verb is keruzo, which means to announce. What we said earlier, to announce. Vocal speaking. You find the same words here. Let me just give you quickly. Matthew 12:41 and Luke 11:32. The same thing. Matthew 12:41, Luke 11:32. Matthew 12:41, Luke 11:32. Mark 16:20. They went everywhere preaching, the Lord walking with and confirming the message. They are speaking. They are speaking what they were saying. Saying what? The gospel. 2 Timothy 4:17. Fully preached the gospel. Is that it? No. 2 Timothy 4:17. Yeah. That the preaching might be fully known. Okay? Romans 16:25. Let's look at that one. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So in other words, in our activity, our words must be chosen from the message. Your words must be chosen for. You mustn't alter the words. You mustn't make fiction out of it. You mustn't make a joke out of it. Because those words are Christianity. Or is Christianity. Same word in 1 Corinthians 1:21. The foolishness of preaching. Verbal speaking. Titus 1:3. He has manifested his word through preaching. So, if you like, fight, get angry about drama issues. So I was saying, are you now saying, you know, a guy told me, he said, I saw what you said about comedy. I love comedy, and I know that God has moved. He said, I said, okay, God has used comedy. He has blessed comedy. He's blessing comedy. He's working comedy. He said, sir, what do you have to say now? He said, you are angry? I said, when you finish getting angry, remember that the gospel is not in comedy. You know, you can be angry, but when you cool down, remember what I said before you got angry. If you think I'll change what I'm saying because you are definitely angry, when you cool down and take very chilled Coke, because I like Coke, you can take very nice biscuits or toast, relax, watch an Arsenal game, you know, and you relax. Then now, hear it again. So when you finish getting angry, remember what I said earlier. Yeah, are you saying, well, in 1905, one guy was doing drama in a Kensington temple. Somebody was healed. In 1966, somebody was this one. In fact, last week, Trafalgar Square, somebody was doing like this. People got born again. You know, look, I'm not into all that. I'm a Christian. Okay? All these words you are dramatizing your drama is irrelevant. The issue is the message and the word, the kerugma of the message. Don't call eternal life that blissful balloon. You are altering the message. So I say, but how do I preach to someone who has never read the Bible about Christ dying and raised from the dead? I say, you will use those same words. Don't you trust it as the power of God? I say, I do. So what do you want to do? You want to review it? No, you just say it. My speech, my message and my, they must be the same thing. Christ died. So the guy said, well, just thinking how people would think. Who sent you to examine how they would think? That's the wisdom of God. So, but if they now think that doesn't make sense, exactly what he said earlier. That they say it doesn't make sense, actually lets you see the power of God. Has God complained to you? It doesn't make sense, guys. What can we do about it? Oh, no. So we put it that way. 1 Corinthians 15:14. Our preaching is vain. So see, can you see that the words of the prophets were preserved? They are preserved. These apostles went from place to place, heralding what the prophet said. Now, everybody was preaching, quoting intentionally and with much weight, quoting from what they said. No idea. And say, Christ is like a turtle dove. Come here, bring your head. I won't beat you. Don't do that. Preach Christ. Hallelujah. Very simple. So, it's not that the words of the prophet were respected. Right? Come on. Don't say, forget the Old Testament. Let's hear the New Testament. You are tired. Where do you think they got it from? From watching a movie? I would say, you know, the who knows some phrases. the Old Testament? Is the New Testament concealed? The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Hallelujah. Go on. Do more. What I'm trying to say is this. We'll see Christ. The Bible is Christocentric. On every page of the Bible is Christ. Come. Let me hug you. You need to enter into his rest. That's not logical, no. Okay? So then, what then is the mystery? What then is the mystery? We must be careful of how we use the word mystery for the Old Testament. The word mystery is the word mysterion. Mysterion. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Used 28 times. Except for Revelation 1:20. And Jesus used it 3 times. 24 times was used by Paul. 24 times. He had nothing to write anyway. He had to write from the Old Testament. He didn't have any gist to write. So he just talked to what was written. Okay? Look at the use of these words. 1 Corinthians 2:7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden, which God ordained before the world to our glory. Romans 16:25. Now to whom there is a power to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. 1 Corinthians 4:1. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 4. If when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Pay attention. We have read mystery how many times now? Twice. We can actually have another one. Ephesians 1:9. Have been made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he had proposed in himself. So we have read how many? 3 times. Look at verse 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God who created all things. How many times now? Huh? How many? 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4, right? Okay. Look at another one. Ephesians 5:32. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. How many times now? 5. Ephesians 6:19. And for me that utterance may be given unto me that I may make open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. How many times now? So in just one letter of a fourth of the use of this word, I believe. Is there a fourth? No. Yeah. Or sixth of it. How many times? 6 times. Okay, fourth. Is used in Ephesians. Colossians has it, Colossians 1:26. And Colossians is understandable. It's almost like the copying of Ephesians. Colossians 1:26. The mystery that had been hid from the ages and generations now is made manifest to his saints. Colossians 1:26. Colossians 2:2. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Colossians 1:27. I forgot that. The mystery among the Gentiles is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 4:3. To speak the mystery of Christ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we have 5 and 6, that's 11, 2 letters. Did you observe that every time we read the word mystery, well, the word speak comes with it? Have you seen it? Speak. Just like Jesus had used it earlier in Mark 4:11, Matthew 3:11, and Luke 8:10. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Actually, the word there, pay attention here. Please, pay attention. I think it is here. The word mysteries need not be plural. Okay? The plural is determined by the translators who looked at the context. So don't see it as many things. In fact, most of the time when you read it, you see a singular event or a fact being discussed. So look at this now. We have 1 Timothy 3:9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 3:16. The mystery of godliness. And then you have Revelation 1:20. So, the word mystery means explanation. So folks are calling it initiation. Something that is explained. Is the opposite of not knowing. So an explanation. It is a contrast of something that was not known. So when it is used for, it is hidden. The hidden is the way you go to school to learn. So the art of you going to the school and sitting down in class is the description of the word mystery. Something that is to be learned. If our wife would call it mysterious, it's funny. It's to be learned or to be explained. That's why you see consistently the word speak is there. To be explained. And notice that it was used for the ministry of either Jesus or the apostles. It's not a personal pursuit of someone. Now the verb of this word is muheo, M-U-E-O, which means to say something. So, you know, yesterday we said, to say something, that there must be something I'm saying. To say something in an explanatory way. So, what they were saying, were they already written? Huh? Okay, so what were they doing? They were explaining it. So, those things were not explained when or where they were written. They were now explained in the epistles. Or by the apostles. A very cognate expression of this is in Philippians 4:12. And what you're doing is, this is a mystery. You sound like an illiterate. You can't know them. They are mysteries. They are personal. No. They are mysteries because they are taught. Do you understand? Is it very clear? They are mysteries because they are what? Taught. So, the act of the mystery is in the preaching. Do you get it? Do you understand what we're saying? Is to say, to be taught. That's it. To be taught. Philippians 4. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed. That's the word, cognate to the word muhiro. Both to be full. That is, I am instructed. How many have a version? I have learned. What I have learned? In your version, you always change it.
What I have learned.
Exactly. That's the word. I have learned. So that means the epistles are the musterion. They are the learning of the Old Testament. Do you get it? Do you understand? So musterion actually lends credence to knowledge. So the issue with the Old Testament prophets cannot be knowledge. It will be what? Huh? Thank you very much. Explanation. Is it clear? Is it clear? Uh-huh. Because the epistles were taken from their words. So, the issue with the epistles will be what? The explanation. Is it making sense? So, we will call the epistles a learning of the Old Testament. Now, if concerning what? Now, let's be focused to. Concerning what? Christ. So, Jesus, in Luke 24, did an Hermes. An Hermes. H-E-R-M-E-S. He said that. Looking at that word. Across the board. So, he picked those words and now explained them. He now explained them. So, Hebrews 1:1. Let's check that quickly. At sundry times, in diverse manners. The word polumeros, Hebrews 1:1. Polumeros, polytropos, many parts. So, why did they say it in many parts? Was it the knowledge or the capacity to explain them? Huh? Very good. Pay attention. Then he says, you know that, what we said about the day dawn? Can you remember that? That shines in a dark place. Oh, sorry, the light that shines in a dark place till the day dawn, till the day star arise in your heart. So, where would you find the polumeros and polytropos? In God or in man? So, it will be man's discoveries of God by faith. So, verse 2, God has spoken where? In his Son. So, whilst man will use words or man's vocabulary, God came by himself in his Son, whom he had appointed what? Heir of the Apollumeros and Polytropos. So, Jesus came to inherit everything they were saying. Okay? Hebrews 1, 2 and 3. He calls him the express image. So, we can put it like this. This is critical. That when you put all the words of the prophet together, the logos is this man. The message is this person. The explanation of what they are saying, and then the conclusion. So you can see the blessedness of the epistles was that the events that were prophesied had happened when they were being written. That was the advantage. Do you understand this? The events had happened when those letters were being written. I read something E.W. Kenyon said. It got my attention years ago when I read his book, The New Christian Realities. And Kenyon was a beautiful mind. If anybody inspired my thinking in scriptures, it was E.W. Kenyon. That, how come? And I never figured it out. I said, how come that when the four gospels were being written, that it seemed as though God shut out the writers? Despite the fact that they knew that those events in those books had happened, that they simply shut out from allowing those things. I call John is on fire. It made the other ones look like they were not spiritual. He did their Jesus from chapter 12 to 17. He just focused. What they took one chapter to write, or even less, he now wrote so much. Paracletos, you know, those things. The other ones now look very carnal. But it is well. Peter now said that the way that those facts were now excluded, that they were to play a role. That, can you imagine if you just jump from Malachi and you jump to the book of Acts? They were to play a role. That what was said, or part of it, pardon me, was now fulfilled. That definitely aided the writings of the epistles. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It did. Because those things had happened. But you know the thing? Both the person who prophesied it and the one writing that was prophesied, they all wrote by faith. It is still not a sense knowledge thing. It's still by faith. There was a faith element in the prophesying and a faith element in the explanation. Look at 1 Peter 1:11. Searching what? How did I put that to you on the other day? Searching who? Can you remember? And what time? Who? The personality? Jesus. 1 Peter 1:11. Searching who? Or what time? What manner of time? So two things. The character, the person, Jesus. And then the events. The opportunity. So, two things were in their prophecy. The event and then the actor. So, in the discoveries of the Old Testament, we'll find what? The events and then the actor in the events. Christ and the events. Look at Colossians 1. So, in their writings, pay attention, you will find a search bringing something out. That will be amidst other things. So, you must not get lost in their many writings. Like I often say, you keep your eyes on the ball. That's what the apostles did. Look at this. Colossians 1:26. Let me ask again. What is the prophecies called? What are they called? The candle. Can you remember? The candlestick. And then he calls the light on the candlestick what? The shineth as what? The day dawn. It's piercing through the darkness. Can you remember? Good. So, you will see a whole lot of things, and then you will see light in the middle of it. Do you understand? In their writing. Now, listen to something. So, Colossians 1 now says, Colossians 1, verse 26, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and generations. You know, those things can be a bit misleading. Because of the old language. Hid. It's as though, okay, God now hid something. No. It is not difficult to know that light does not hide. If God should hide, then in him is darkness many things. You cannot hide in the light. Light can only reveal. Are you following this? So you are about to see that the heat has to do with man. Light does not hide. It cannot hide. Ephesians 3. How that by revelation made known unto me the mystery which I have wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read it, you understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which is, was not made to the son of men. Was not made known. How was it not made known? Verse 9, sorry. Which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Hid in God. Now, the word here is apocrypto. You will need to really be attentive now. A-P-O-K-R-U-P-T-O. Apocrypto. Now again, don't forget that this is an old English word. If I say I hid it, in your mind is like I didn't want you to see it. Okay? In your mind, that is that I hid it somewhere. It means I didn't want you to see it. Meanwhile, it's a lack of vocabulary. Let's see the context of those words. Luke 10:21. I remember Reverend Chris Okotie that first showed me this, you know, in a discussion we had. He said, he just mentioned it, and I heard him say it, that it is hid for, not from. My God, my brain just opened. Bah! Eh? Because all he said, it is not hid from, it is hid for. Now see it. Look at this. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. So, it is hidden from who? Is the wise a particular set of people or an attitude? Exactly. So, an attitude in man who what? Hide it. Pay attention. So the heat is relative to a man's attitude. Follow this. 1 Corinthians 2:7. So the moment you are a babe, it is no longer what? The moment you know so much, the more you know, the more you will not know. Do you understand? So it's an attitude. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Six, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Why? Because of their wisdom. For are they known, they would not have crucified the word of the Lord of glory. Now, were the prince of this world people that did not know? They had wisdom. But their wisdom was now made foolish by the wisdom of God. Do you understand? The issue is that it was their knowledge that made the wisdom of God hidden. Do you get it? So the hidden is relative. It's relative to what a man knew. Pay attention to this. Matthew 11:25. You have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and had revealed them unto babes. Same thing we read earlier. Matthew 13:35. Matthew 13:44, I think. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hid in the field, which when a man has found, he hides and for joy goes and sells all he had and buys the field. The word actually means to keep. To keep. Matthew 25, verse 18. He that received one went and dig in the earth and hid his lost money. He kept it. 18, verse 25. I went and hid that time in the earth. Lo, thou art. What all you know, there thou hast that is thine. He kept. So the word hid is actually to keep. For something to be put in a place. Amongst in, that is put in a place outside others. So it's not the product of being hidden, like you want to keep something from people. No. It's kept in a place. You see carefully to this. Luke 18:34. I'm actually explaining the word crypto now, not apocrypto. I'm a bit fast. Apocrypto now. There's a crypto to be kept. So kept away is apocrypto. Quickly, Luke 18, verse 34. And these things saying were hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. They understood none of these things. And he says, neither knew they the things that were spoken. Look at Acts, say Luke 19:42. He thou hast known even at least in this day the things unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. That is, you are looking at it, but you don't understand it. Because something else was in your mind. So, in John 12:36, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. These things saw Jesus and the five of them. He did hide himself from them. He kept himself to keep. John 19:3. Sorry, 19:38. Sorry. And after this, Joseph Matthias, being a disciple of Jesus, was secretly for the fear of Jews, besought that he might take away the body. And he gave him leave. He therefore came and took the body of Jesus. 19:38, sorry. So when you use this word, I think there's one more. 1 Timothy 5:25. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid, kept. Hebrews 11:23. By faith Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. So now look at, he was hid from those who wanted to hurt him. Now, the wisdom of God is hid from what? The wisdom of men is not hid from men. It's hid from the wisdom of men. From man's intelligence and way of thinking. So what will be the access to it? Huh? What will be the access? Faith. Faith will be our access to God's word. But when my intelligence, he's very sound. What happens? It is what? Hid from me. So, the hidden is relative. Don't forget, light does not conceal. Is it very clear? So, the darkness in the man who has this hidden will be unbelief. So, says to the Greeks, this is foolishness. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. They call it foolishness, stumbling block. And he said, I've destroyed the wisdom of the wise. That is, a Christ crucifixion has destroyed the wisdom of the wise. So it was hid from the wisdom of who? The wise. But revealed to us who believe. And the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. So our foolishness or our wisdom is foolishness to that system of thinking. But that system of thinking is unbelief. And the word of God is hid. That hiding is relative. It's not that God hid from man. It is that attitude, okay, of the wisdom of man that causes God's will to be hidden. Let me see if you understand that. So what is the access to it? Faith. Except you be a child, you can't see it. Except you are born again, you can't see it. The more you say, so the wisdom of the world that come to nothing, had they known it, they would not have crucified. Pay attention. What did they know? The wisdom of this world. So, the wisdom of this world stands, I think we did a series like that 2 years ago, so, stands at variance with this truth. So, from the wisdom of this world, it is what? Hidden. That means the gospel does not agree with man's intelligence. Is that very clear now? So, in man's intelligence, the gospel is hidden. So, what will be the access? Faith. Faith. Remember that Matthew 13? In them it is fulfilled. The words of Isaiah, the prophet, that seeing they don't see. Right? Hearing they cannot hear. They cannot understand. Lest I heal them. They are converted, I heal them. So, what is he talking about basically? He said, but there are so many kings and priests who desire to see the things you have seen, the things you have heard. Blessed are your eyes that see those things, and ears that hear those things. So, what was the difference? Unbelief. So, unbelief will hide a man's mind. Yet, he's intelligent. He reasons very well in unbelief. So, from generation to generation, access to the mind of God is by what? Faith. How is this? It is when his intelligence is believed, then we become spiritually intelligent. That's why Paul will say, that I counted everything dung. Everything. That the excellency, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Savior. So, everything he knew before, he had to count it what? Nothing. I will bring to nothing the wisdom of the wise. That discretion of the prudent, the intelligent people, the scholars of the day. You will have to put all your knowledge aside and do what? Believe. The more you hold on to that knowledge, it will be what? Hid from you. Do you get it? You can't access it by intelligence. It has to be by what? Faith. Is it very clear? Oh, ye fools. So their foolishness was not that they were not intelligent. Oh, ye fools were slow of heart. To what? To believe. So, faith is the doorway to recognizing and knowing God's purpose and plan. Is it very clear? Let us read one more and then I close. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, to us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the ruler of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? So what's the access? See you tomorrow, 7 a.m.